Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. This is a great deal. I was supposed to be live, but like with everything in my life, it is just being held together like a house of cards. So joining me today is Daniel and Tom. I know I got it backwards, and the always gorgeous Samantha.
You're fine.
It's Daniel and Tom.
I'm fine. It's fine.
It's a wonderful deal, and then you didn't know what to say. And it's not a wonderful deal. It's a horrible deal. You're freaking
out. Well, because you know how listeners are. They're going to bust my balls for it not being live. And I'm missing out on Super Chat money.
It's not live.
How many people actually watch it live?
Yeah, it's free. So what?
Guess what? Super Chat is where I make most of my money. I'm sorry. I ain't got big fancy sponsors like Tom and Dan do.
Oh, wow, now Sam, good job, Sam. You know, Sam's never had
that. That was a legitimate question because we don't get that many people watch us live either. People listen to the, you know.
No.
Crosshairs. I like Sam with the crosshairs. That's it.
You know what? I stayed out of it. Yeah. I just tried to figure out how to.
I'm gonna do what Sam.
You were asking questions before we started.
I'm gonna do what Sam does when this stuff happens. I'm gonna put my hands on.
No, you want me to be honest? The whole time, I know that you guys were recording like some Halloween bit or something. I'm sure the whole time you're in the car, you're like, fuck, why do we got to go and do this goddamn nerds podcast? Him.
Exactly.
I was going to say, I like that you think that they even remembered they were doing this until right before.
I know. You probably had to remind them.
Did you see that? It went.
it got sticky and it came out stuck. And then it whipped back in because you got jaw whip.
Sorry.
All right. Today is my 500th podcast, and I wanted to see, thank you very much, Sam. I really do appreciate that. I'm sorry that I snapped at you earlier, but I'm just on edge. That's it. I'm sorry. Don't screw with me. When you're on 3 hours worth of sleep and you took a double stack Adderall before the show, just so you can make it through everything.
Oh, my God. The Wendy's Adderall.
I'm on 60 right now.
60?
Oh, too much.
Oh, my God.
I chased it with a couple of bong rips and I'm good to go now.
Where you rip your bong hole?
It gets
not bong hits, bong hits.
Bong hole. Lyndon B. Johnson.
It would be like you to come on my show and try to just embarrass me and poke me in the chest, Tom.
It would be just like you.
I'm not doing nothing.
All right. So, you know, I got fired in 2010. And it seems like ages ago now, but I had a
like, that's 11 years ago.
What place are you talking about?
This was on Facebook right after I got fired. Do you remember? I went back. It was like I cried like a little bitch at Daniel's old house. Tom is he hates uncomfortableness. Like he doesn't know what to say to me. And Daniel, you know, he's like talking, trying to cheer me up. Yes, you were there.
And you were crying in front of me?
Yeah. But it's either Tom or Dan wrote this message on Facebook. And I want to see if you can guess who wrote this. Because
instantly, if it's more than two words, it's me. But you know what chances are it's me.
Okay, here we go. All right. Clear channel fire Tuttle yesterday. I honestly don't understand it. He is my friend, and he knew more about radio industry than anyone I know. He has worked in radio for 12-plus years. I'm not sure how to help him, but I'm sure if anyone could support his tanning place. Thanks. That's a big sore spot. Still paying off all the credit on that one. Placed by recommended it to a friend or going there, I'm sure that it could help them, him and his wife. Great reminder, I'm not married anymore. It's called Golden Tan in Maitland. Who wrote it? Tom or Dan?
That's Tom. I didn't write that.
Tom doesn't even remember it.
No.
Hold on.
That was during his heavy drinking days before he found the joys of White Claw.
It sounds like a good deed.
Who is it?
Definitely you.
I'm going to guess that it is me because now that you're reading that back, I remember
Crystal wrote that the just grammar was way too good.
No.
Also, you can't show emotion, so you go strictly to business things. So you're like, I can't say I love him, so can you help his tanning?
Business,
business is my love.
Well, that's because...
Yeah, that's you. That's all you.
Because I need a reason. Like, everything has to have a reason for in my life.
What about just being a friend?
Give him something to believe in. He's a regular Brett Michaels over here.
No, no, I'm just saying, if I just said, like, hey, this happened, I feel bad, and just put that out there, I'm like, well, what is that? I need people to, like, help you in some way.
You want
so
a call to action.
Call, yes,
CTA,
call to action.
CTA, bitch.
So that's, I, like, you know, if something bad happens, just saying, like, hey, I feel bad, I'm sorry, this happened.
Thoughts
I feel
and
like,
prayers.
Like, thoughts and prayers is nothing to me. Like, what is that? How does that help you make money or, like, go on? Or, like, for me, it's like, all right, well, help his tanning business.
You know,
or, like,
the only place I ever tanned to his, fully go nude, the only place I ever tanned fully nude was Tuttle's tanning place.
Nice. And I got to tell you, your sweat did not stink. There would be sometimes where Italian people would come in and you could tell they were eating a lot of garlic. And you would go in there and you would like mop up the sweat and it just would be like, oh my God, how much garlic? Did he eat like 4 bulbs before he came in here?
It feels good being in that little toaster. You know, like you're in there. I'm not a tanner.
I would sniff the beds on hot girls though.
I've done it before. But I, you know, there is something nice about laying in there. It's weird. I like things that. I'm a big fan of, I know they don't do anything, the lasers that people get shot at them, but I'm a big fan of them. They're relaxing. I'll give them that.
Seems like it should be hotter in a tanning bed, but it isn't. Which is,
I know. Well, you were in there for like 45 minutes, weren't you, for a bit on the show? I think you were in there for like 45 minutes, which could have gotten us in trouble with the health department, but we didn't care.
Well, I was a notary at the time, which is a, you know, kind of a big deal. And I actually notarized you getting those illegal tanning beds that you'd have shipped in from
Honduras.
Yeah, Honduras.
See if we could send Daniel to jail for that.
No, it's been longer than 7 years.
I'm not talking. I would do time before
Stone glasses on. Come get me, motherfuckers. I don't even care.
I would do time before I would rat Daniel out because it's that Volusia County connection.
I appreciate that. As
well,
his
stamp is there. I'm just saying,
I
to go back
my stamp. I still use it. I notarize everything. And it says like 2003.
So I want to get into where were you guys at your 500th show? I hope not still doing it in a car like
well,
I am.
Like you brought this up to me and you said, you know, I kind of want to contrast and compare where we were, you know, with I'm guessing a mediocre time with Tom and Dan. I don't believe we had, you know, remember, we were a weekly show. You're a daily show.
Yeah, we haven't got to 500 yet. Now, we've done more than 500 ACT.
Yeah, because you do three shows a day, don't you?
Yeah,
week was 643.
No!
Yeah, yeah. We've done it, but we've done it via weekly. The fact that you're wrong is insane. It's insane to me you didn't know we've done 500 shows.
I started thinking, I was like, have we? Yeah, you're right.
I mean, we've done thousands of shows, but AMT is weekly, ACT is daily, and then BDM shows are whenever we want. So the weird thing is I don't really know how to answer your question perfectly.
Old House or Baldwin Park? Or no, I don't want to blow.
Yeah, I'll try. We were at this location.
But I don't think we made a big deal out of it. And
December 14th, 2018.
Okay. Yeah, it's weird. Like, me and Daniel don't really, like, for whatever reason, we always have shied away from looking at, like, a particular big, like, number show, like, 100th show, 500th show, or whatever it is.
Usually I forget about it.
Wait, didn't I do an anniversary show for you one time where I showed up to it?
We did a party. Right. We're good at that because that is, like, you know, celebrating. We can throw parties, but for whatever reason, like, we don't want to put the pressure on, like, hey, just, like, we're going to do our 500th show. Like, it's going to be out.
We're not good when we ever do that. We just tried to do that downtown with Ghost Stories. We couldn't even get a goddamn ghost story. You know what I mean? Like, we're bad at planning shows. Like, Howard Stern was the quintessential best at doing, like, it's like Howard's birthday show. He would have a cavalcade of stars, all the stories, all the video, all the extra content, all the sound bites you need. We're not good at that, and I don't know why we're not good at that.
Well, you when you have an army of people working for you to set
That's
those
true.
Things up, it's easier.
We
you know,
run out of we do run out of due diligence. We run out of bodies. We run out of hands.
And also, it's always and we were just talking about this today that Daniel and I do it too to Daniel. We constantly remind ourselves like. All right, we're going to have to do another one tomorrow, like, because it just keeps
on going. It's all throwaway. It's all throwaway. I mean, we are, like, in the only business where at the end of the day, when we walk out the door, we don't really have anything to look at or show for. When I was an iron worker, I could see what we put up that day. And then the next day, it's just you got to go back in.
That's a horrible example, and you'll understand what I mean by this, because you just outlined something that is so tangible, and it's also big. It can be big, and it's also, like, manly. So the comparison there is bad because you're always going to feel like what you're doing in audio land is nothing compared to like iron worker, you know what I mean? Or like train conductor or something that's so big and steel and you know what I mean?
We don't
get any of that.
When you used to work as a welder, Tuttle, like you would have a particular job that day. Like what would be a job, a standard welder's job?
I thought I was hosting this show today. Why is the interviewee asking the questions?
He did what he does.
Hold on, what number shows?
Crystal gets mad at you for doing at parties, right? You start interviewing like
Sorry, I'll sit back.
Do you want me to be honest? All right, so when I first started, I was the bolt bitch. I was the bolt bitch. I know I shouldn't say that, but I was the bolt bitch.
They would
bring you these like 40-gallon drums full of they would be the bolts. Then you'd have the washer and the nuts. And then you would just make bolts all day for the iron workers because they needed to be completed for you to be able to throw them up to them or then to be able to put them in their bag. So I would get through one bucket and guess what? Another bucket would come in. So no matter how fast I made bolts, there was always going to be a new 40-gallon drum coming around the corner.
Slow down. This is my dream job, by the way, making bolts.
How do you make bolts?
Well, you take the bolt. Then you take the washer, put the washer on the bolt, and then you put the nut on the end of it and just, you know, get it where it sticks.
Yeah, so that way they have...
It's easier for them.
Okay, gotcha. So you're just assembling the washer and nut so they have them all
It's
assembled
amazing there. That all of this stuff is exactly like Lego, but like really important Lego.
It's also kind of a waste of time for you because if you're... trying to learn how to weld. How does that? I know everything's about paying your dues and shit, but it's like.
Did you get to go on the air? Did you get to go on the air as soon as you did? Well, maybe day one because you were the golden child as soon as you came in the building.
I get to go on the air day one. I will say, look, there are a lot of things.
He never paid his dues, Tuttle. He never paid them.
No, he never paid dues.
No, he did. He paid his dues in stunts, but he got on the air because of that bear suit and he got on fast.
But I worked for a year unpaid.
He was hot.
40 hours a week, basically.
That bear suit made you the hottest girl on the team. Like, when we saw you, we were like, that bear suit, it can do no wrong. Get that guy on the air.
I did a year of unpaid internship.
Just a year?
Yeah. That's a lot. I don't think that even exists anymore.
I worked 6 years for you guys for free.
It wasn't daily. You know, it's not like you're in here Monday through Saturday busting your ass.
That's true.
You know, one day a week, I feel like, you know what? You should have done,
done
7 years. You'd be properly trained, but 6 is fine.
On the recorded show that I put out today, I had Soul Brother Kevin on for about an hour and 20 minutes. And we were talking about how we always got sent out when he first started Man on the Street. And the host of the show at the time was rolling pretty hard when it comes to the money, if you know what I'm talking about.
Ecstasy, and he was
no. Well, I mean, maybe that too. Who knows? But
this guy got high on ecstasy, put a potato in his ass.
Come on.
But he would hand us $100 bill and like, oh, just bring the change back, and he would always forget about it, and that's the only way me and SBK survived in the early 2000s.
To do that to me when I'd hand you like something smaller, like a $5, and I'd be like, yo, son, I'm gonna.
And Jimmy always gave exact change. He was always like, and I want a receipt.
Jimmy's that guy that when he's buying something, he gives you exact change, but he gives you in a different denomination so he can get a nickel back.
What's the most money you ever made in radio, Tuttle? Like at the height of your radio career?
Well, I was going to ask you that, Tom. I wanted to know what you were making whenever you left Real Radio.
I'll tell you.
My salary is $56,000.
Okay, my biggest one was, okay, I was working over in Tampa, and Jack called me. He was the program director, because I'd been over in Tampa for like 4 or 5 years, and they had offered me $25,000 to come and produce the morning show, and I said no. I said no, and then they came back and they gave me 35 plus ratings bonuses. So if we were number one, I would have gotten $5,000, and then, you know, it would have been a scale thing.
Rating bonuses are pretty awesome.
It does. It's not awesome when you see what Uncle Sam takes out of them get that big check.
I mean, like, just as they are, it really is radio's version of, like, getting money back from the government, you know, like a tax refund.
Yeah.
It's a nothing money. And no matter what, I don't care if they're BS, they're real, whatever, I always looked forward to them. I didn't get them my last, like, 5 to maybe even 10 years of radio. But I was a big fan of the ratings bonus.
It seems what were you making?
Who, me?
Yeah.
When I left Clear Channel, my base
I'm going to slip my wrist when I hear this number, probably.
Don't.
My base salary is $33,000.
Ratings, bonuses?
And then, but I made $35,000
on promos.
In commercials and promos and stuff.
He was busting his ass.
I made more in live reads and like appearances.
Oh, and your
stuff, but I didn't
your live that. Reads were the best out of any broadcaster ever to be at Real Radio, by the way. Your live reads were just the best.
Well, I mean, you could say that. I don't know if that's real or not, but what I will say is at one point in time, and this is a fact, at one point in time, you had the most live reads of any person on the air. That's a fact.
I'll just take whatever.
But you had it. Like, there were other people that even were like, well, why is this guy? You took everything. You had, like, a car. You had, like, a dive thing for Caradonna. You had, like, food. You had a cake stand.
And while you're doing those reads and making money, I'm downstairs at the horrible cafe getting everybody lunch and their ice and soda.
Hold on. You got paid more than me when you had, you know, came back. Like, they offered you $35,000 base salaries, so it's not like a huge discrepancy there.
So why didn't it stick?
That lasted only 8 months, and that was my heyday of drinking, and it was the only day I ever showed up late. Now, one of the things me and Kevin talked about, Daniel, is that in the early 2000s, when I was in my ecstasy days, where I would stay up all night, could you guys ever tell? Like, could you tell, like...
Yeah. I could tell whenever anybody would come in, like, inebriated, and you could probably tell when I did. I only did
no
it
sleep.
Once. But I could always tell when people would come in drunk or crocked or on drugs.
Tom missed the good old days, though.
I caught the tail end of it.
You did. You saw a little bit.
Like, when I started interning, you were there, and then there was the tail end of the 90s. Like, it was 2003 going to 2004. So you still had a lot of that. People were still going to Hedonism. That was like my first radio trip was the Hedonism in 2004, like right when I started interning. So I got a piece of I saw all the...
Oh, we got a piece.
A piece of that 90s radio party where all the listeners would be like... Everybody would hang out with each other and bang each other. And like there was there was like...
It was incestuous, for Christ's sake.
Radio groupies.
That Miss Monster. She was married, and her husband was giving me a thumbs up while I was like, dude, middle finger deep in his wife.
We made the joke on last Friday's show, Tuttle, about like I signed the girl's boobs or cleavage or something at some fucking dumb radio concerts and stuff. Like, who, you know, bizarre.
Not a thing.
Yeah. Like,
it's just not a thing.
Like, who? Radio personality nowadays signs someone's boobs. Like, I mean, maybe someone like super huge or like a rock, you know.
Jesse James Dupree from Jackal.
First of all, it's a trashy thing to do.
Yes, yeah.
It doesn't fit the, like, you're not going to catch, like, I'm trying to
think.
It's
like a fake rock star thing to do that you're.
You know who would do it right now? Oh, man, this makes me cringe. You know who would do it right now? Machine Gun Kelly would sign a boob in a heartbeat.
Oh, well, he's a rock star.
He wouldn't even check IDs.
Yeah, but he's also, you got to have a level of trash to do that. Like, you're not going to catch, like, Deftones signing boobs. You're not going to catch, I'm trying to think of a band that's, like, popular
Dave Matthews,
right now.
Dave Matthews,
you're not going to find your big, John Mayer doesn't sign boobs.
All right.
I bet he would. 100%.
I don't say he's sober now, and he's like a weird nerd now.
Yeah, but he's
Could someone to take a picture, like someone to take a picture of it, and like I bet you a lot of things have changed with the cell phone cameras, where they're like, ah, I'm not doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because like someone takes a picture of you before you sign the boob, and it's like a weird, like at some angle. Look at John Mayer's attacking a woman. You know,
but before,
all that shit.
Tuttle, before cameras though, there was a I want to say a 1 to 3 year sweet spot where digital cameras were still popular, but they weren't uber connected to the like to the internet instantly.
And not everybody was carrying around in their pocket.
Correct.
So there'd be like a delay, like of a week.
Yeah, but then there would be like bands would have a camera on stage closed circuit to film the crowd. And there was a sweet spot for like, I want to say 1 to 3 years where
Woodstock 99.
Your metal bands, your punk bands, your Limp Bizkits, all of them would video the crowd and there'd be titties up flying.
Oh, yeah.
On
way
the
more
big screen, and it was flash crazy. But then with the cell phone camera, as soon as the cell phone camera, boom, it shut it all down. And then that crowd cam didn't become as popular anymore. And then they were like, well, we can cut that off the rider. We don't need to spend money for that. Doesn't matter anymore.
All right. So before I got two quick questions. So on today's show, I want to use this audio from this. And I wanted, did you guys see the controversy about Mike Evans and Tom Brady's 600th touchdown?
I did, and I thought that well, that you mean the controversy of them having to take the ball back from the kid who Evans gave it to?
Yeah, well, Mike Evans gave the 600th ball to a guy, and they ended up calling an auction house. How much do you think that ball was appraised at? Because when you hear what it was appraised at, you're going to feel like the guy got completely ripped off.
I think I saw the story, so
I don't know the number. I didn't read into it.
It was $500,000. Okay. $500,000. And they only gave him another game ball and a couple of jerseys and a couple of signed things. Like, I mean, would you have given it back, Tom? I feel like Tom would have kept it.
No, I think it's a dickhead move to keep
it. So did Brady sell it?
No, Mike Evans always, when he catches a touchdown, his thing is to hand the ball to a fan in the stand.
I like
that. I think Brady's keeping it. They're just saying what it would be worth if they did auction it.
Yeah, Brady's keeping it. I think that's fine. Yeah.
If Brady keeps it, then inherently it's zero value because it's his and it's his estate.
For him, yeah.
So, but if he sells it, do you think Brady should cut him off a little bit?
He won't sell it.
Also,
no way.
What's the legality of, like, I know if a soccer ball gets kicked into the stands, like, you can't keep that, right?
You're not
It depends on the league. MLS is very strict on that. They will come and get that ball if you don't toss it back.
And they won't let you leave without it, right? It's like, this is our property or whatever. And
now, there have been certain nights where maybe the ball is a special ball where if it goes into the audience, you're allowed to keep it. It's really just discretion of league at times.
So I think that's probably in some sort of fine print on some NFL's website that if a ball goes into the audience or someone gives it away by accident and shouldn't have.
It's a different than being handed to you, though.
But if it was by accident, like obviously Mike Evans should have gave that back. He didn't realize it was Brady's 600th touchdown, which is weird. You wouldn't have thought that someone would have.
Nobody's ever done it.
Nobody's. Wouldn't before the game, like, hey, Brady could throw his 600th touchdown today.
Yeah, but you're
tonight.
Also in the middle of the game, you're not.
I just think that, do you want to be the guy, though, that doesn't give the ball back? Do you want to be that guy? Like, I don't want to be that guy.
He would have been villainized.
Right, just give the ball back, and then the kid I heard it was a kid. Of course, they're going to apply anything to the narrative that makes it more evil, right? I mean, it was probably, we'll give you.
Actually, it was an adult guy that's already a doctor.
Oh, well, yeah, I was just like, it does matter, I think. If it had been a kid, I would have felt more sorry for the kid having to give it back. But I do think that I'd be able to explain to him the meaning of that to an adult and the fact that he's getting jerseys and a ball, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But well, another adult, I kind of feel like, sour. Don't be that guy.
Like if Brady got him, and I'm sure because after the story and the media, Brady and his team will put together a package of like some signed jerseys and stuff.
What about a night with Giselle?
All right, I forgot the shock.
Yeah. Oh, do not judge me.
This is your show. I'm sorry. It's weird.
What motherfucker, man? I you know what?
Baldwin take. It's hot.
I'm gonna fight you.
His Alec Baldwin take, I saw it on Instagram, man.
Oh, dude, I got over 200 comments of people.
This is why I used to be trained to use a firearm.
Huh? Murderer!
No, I just said Keanu Reeves didn't have any problems. He's trained with firearms.
Well, he's also John Wick. A lot more training.
Yeah, but I'm sure if you put a real bullet in one of the guns of that Keanu Reeves is not going to check, like, oh, I found the real one. Like, you know, he's just going to start shooting whatever
gun. Wait a
gun.
Minute. This gun feels a little heavier.
Whatever gun the prop guy gives you, the actor's just going to start using. He's not going to start going through the safety checks. Yeah, I would do the same shit. I would assume.
That's not their job. Yeah, the prop guy.
My job is to pretend to shoot it.
Sam gives me a live read. I just read the paper.
Why not make a prop gun where the bullets can't actually fit into it? Make the cylinder
that's what they're gonna do.
Well, that's what I assumed. I was virtually certain. I would have bet a large amount of money.
Oh,
on
I learned
it.
A lot based on this story. I didn't know that it was all live weapons on every set. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I thought
they used toys like the rest of us, knuckleheads. Right.
Well, that all prop guns, they were replicas, but they were replicas made that they could not fire an actual bullet.
Like a real bullet.
This
is where I put two and two together.
But it's a Western, so maybe the old.
I have made movies that we needed firearms. Any firearms that we ever used were toy firearms. I went to Tank America and drove a tank. They concreted the turret on the tank shut so it can't fire a projectile. That's kind of what I thought we would apply the Tank America logic to a goddamn gun on a set. I always thought that there was no way for anything to come out of those guns. I am an idiot, apparently, and didn't know that.
No, I just didn't know.
Because you could easily just, like, tack weld a tiny
piece of...
So
none of us knew that here, really? That's crazy, right? I didn't know that. I really didn't know that. And when I found
out Brandon Lee. Brandon Lee, I think he got killed by just the wadding from...
I had heard that,
But that's when... From that Brandon Lee story, that's where I heard, yes, they use these replica guns. They cannot fire real bullets, but the wadding still, like, they fire...
They can fire a blank.
Like, the blank still has gunpowder in the wadding.
But
and
a
that's
blank can kill you, apparently, from what I've read. I mean, it's a mess. That's a mess.
Let's not act like Alec Baldwin is the... if you had to guess, like, if Alec Baldwin, if this goes to trial, do you think it would be bigger than OJ?
No, it's not going to trial.
No, because it's not a crime of passion.
It could though.
It's never going to trial. It was a complete accident on the set.
We don't know everything yet, though.
Yeah, no, someone can get sued, and I'm sure the family of the victims are going to sue.
It's happening now.
Could be wrongful death.
They're going to sue the production.
It won't be murder, but it could be wrongful death.
For sure, and these production companies have gigantic liability insurance for these sets. You know, there's been people, stuntmen and other people that have died on movie sets, and they have huge insurance policies for it. I'm sure the family's going to sue the insurance. Like, that's what happens. But they probably can go back and find that there was negligence, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you read a lot of the stories where so many people already walked off set because they said how unsafe it was.
Yeah. Six of the camera crew, the head of cinematography walked off because of, I think it was not only the conditions, but payment.
So you could sue the max amount that the insurance company would pay off, and you could probably go after the actual production company itself if there is extreme
negligence. You know, here's the thing that I think is so absolutely tragic. I mean, obviously, you know, to the woman and the man they were injured, that's in their families, that's, you know, it breaks your heart. But to kind of broaden this and make it a little less sad, I was talking to my wife about it, Tuds, and I said, you know, with the way that I am with my mind and my anxiety, can you imagine if we were doing something, right? Let's say instead of doing podcasting, we did movies. I was the guy on the set doing that, and I put myself in his shoes, and I don't know if I ever come back from something that traumatic. I don't know if I ever... I think something like that is it changes. Like, like Andrea's like, well, what would you... We were, like, really trying to talk about it, and I go, I think that is a trajectory changer. That is, I don't do this anymore. My world goes from what it is to something different in a nanosecond.
What if you guys killed somebody at one of your events? Would you do another event?
Well, were we negligent or was it
I know you covered your ass. You got Kramer is probably writing everything.
I'll give you a real one. If Tom, when he was awkwardly stiff dancing with the magician on stage at our front yard festival, Dr. Phillips, you were dancing with the magician. Had you kicked him off the stage and he died? You that's that would I don't think you would come back from that.
Yeah, I mean, I
knowing you the way I know you and the way that you level that look, think of the level of guilt you're weighing on yourself right now just because you didn't think the show we did before this one was good enough. put that guilt of kicking, you know, this accidentally, you know, you're holding the table doing the thing with it, and then you just trip, fall, push him off the stage. He hits his head dead in front of his girlfriend. First time she'd ever seen him.
Yeah, that kind of thing would make you question what you were even doing and probably never do anything similar again, right?
And then so that's my guess. Everybody likes to, you know, we can shoulda, coulda, woulda this and gun safety and everything, but my guess is we don't hear from him.
Your kids would have to homeschool from now on because they would be like, oh, don't mess with them because their dad's a murderer.
I don't know if people would do that. I did see a lot of that. Like, I frown upon that. Like, I saw a lot of the memes and the stuff. You know, I guess that's just where we're at now.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know that
we've been there.
Hot takes.
I know that you guys are pressed for time. If you guys had one piece of advice, Tom and Dan, going forward with my podcast, what would you give me?
I don't think you need any help. You know exactly what you're doing, man. I listen to your show, and I think your show is really, really good. And as long as you're genuine and you're honest on your show and you just be you, you will be great. Where I do worry, though, I worry about you. I worry about you and your mama. I want you guys to be safe and healthy. And I do worry about you. I want you.
Thank
to
you, ma'am.
Sleep because I care about you.
My thing, Tuttle, is don't give up. Write that down.
Thanks, Tony Robbins. Thanks, Tony Robbins. Thanks, Tony Robbins.
I'm telling. Be
would,
honest.
Would you be?
Hey,
I
wish.
Let me be honest with you, Tuts. Can you get that anywhere else? Like,
no, I can't.
Kevin. Kevin has been through a lot of stuff, you know, with a kidney transplant and everything, and just diversity, and just being a black man in radio. Let's just put it that way. And I don't think Kevin could ever be as inspiring as what we just did.
I wish Tom would have gave me that advice before I put that noose around my neck on the ceiling fan. Don't give up.
No,
don't give up. No, it is
a
true story. It's not.
So, but seriously, the you've already established.
Just don't give up. You don't have to go into it. I'll take it. Thank you. I appreciate it, Tom. I know you're busy.
I'm going to tell you more. Like, but
I hope your son says.
Here, are you going to tell me?
Like, don't give up. They're like, I'll take it. Whatever. That's what I got.
Wait,
you can build
are you going
to?
Are you just going to tell me just do it next?
Yes, he was.
It is on his
he
nose.
Was writing it down. No bullshit. He wrote just do it.
You are such an insincere person, and I've been a friend of you.
I'm not war. I'm just,
everything
is
everything is sarcastic. Everything is sarcastic and backhanded with you. Like you're dry humor.
Because I'm trying to make people laugh. I'm trying to make your audience laugh.
Because I can't offer you anything. That's why you don't give it. It's like. Oh my god.
I agreed to do this, right?
I know where the clock is in the studio. Why does your eyes keep going up to the clock in the studio?
I was looking at my
don't bullshit me. Every time you keep looking up at the fucking clock, Tom, and I know it.
A tiny Nike sticker says, just do it, because he didn't know how to spell it.
I'm just messing with you, Tom.
I know.
Keep doing what you're doing, man. Just and don't
keep
let
on
your,
keeping on.
Keep on. It is what it is. That's what I'll say.
No, Tom.
And at the end of the day,
it is what it is.
Like, Tuttle, seriously, you've learned how to make money, right? I mean, you've been doing this for how long?
Beginning of 2020.
Yeah,
you don't even remember that. Like, well, I mean, it's a nice round number. Like, it's a nice.
You also said you figured out how to make money when he was like the best way he makes money is when he's live and he's not live right now. So you're really getting at him.
Yeah, you really are.
I'm not doing it on purpose.
Tom,
it may seem like
Tom has this new thing, and he does it to Sam, and he'll do it to me, even where he will.
Accidentally
piss you the fuck off.
Yeah.
I do it to my wife. I do it to him.
Yeah.
And he'll Magoo it. He Magoos it, and it's like unraveling, and you're like, wait, stop. And he's like,
accidental dickhead.
It's just what I do. I'm an accidental dickhead.
But if you're an accidental dickhead,
that means you're naturally a dickhead. It just comes natural.
We've yelled at you so much that we think that you should have a little bit of self-dickhead awareness.
Yeah.
You're probably right. I should.
Hold on, that was it. That's all we get. Now it's back to dickhead. He's like, you're probably right. That's all you
get. You gotta learn your lesson.
I sure,
make a change.
But also, when we're on the show, like we're on right now, we're on Tuttle's Daily Podcast.
We're
Tuttle's Daily Podcast.
No, it's not a show. Thanks, Sam.
By the way, can we use this for extra content? Because we're, you know.
We curse crazy.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know what? It'll get more traction on yours. Just take it. Just rape me of the content. You're basically raping me of the content. Just take it.
Yeah. But we'll use it for a BDM content. So technically we're selling it. Yeah, you're making money off it. And then that's where
we're taking Tuttle Daily Show content and reselling it on our platform. We're basically a tube site. We're stealing your porno and putting it on our show.
No, you're a podcast yard sale flipper. You basically got it for free. I got a mongoose. This is where I'm at in my life.
You got a mongoose?
This old man, $20, wanted the mongoose. I was going to walk away. I said, can I ride it first? And somebody made the joke.
Oh,
he's going to ride away with it. A bike. He's going to ride away with it. And with no hesitation, the guy said, no, he ain't. And he pulled out a 380 out of his pocket.
Never buy a mongoose from an armed man.
And that was at the Brandywine Plaza right there, Daniel, by the way.
In that plaza. My mom loved that pizza place.
Luigi's has shut down. It's all done.
COVID got Luigi's, huh? Man, my mom used to love, my mom was like, they have the best calzone up at Luigi's. And I'm eating a low-fat, anti-inflammatory diet, and Luigi's does not give me diarrhea.
Did he point the gun at you, Tuttle?
No, he just pulled it out. He was just joking around. You could tell. Like, it's a different type of people in that area, Northwest Volusia County.
What's the problem?
Yeah, yeah. You're right. There are people that they show their gun as jokes a lot. I've run into them before.
Yeah,
where they point their gun in your ribs.
Have you ever seen the radio clip where the rapper comes in? And it's like a breakfast, like one of those shows that's very, the Breakfast Club.
They do the roll call. What's up, y'all? You know,
guy's sitting there and he's like talking and he just pulls out, he's like pulls his pockets out. He pulls his phone, like a wad of money, just money everywhere. And then a loaded gun. He lays a loaded gun up there. Well, and everyone's like,
that happened to us. Didn't, what's his face? The hunter guy, when he came into the studio, he peeled an apple with a goddamn Bowie knife. And pulled out all his guns, the big hunter that's the conservative.
No, yeah, that was, he's not a hunter, he's a rock star. It was Ted Nugent that did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ted Nugent had a gun on him, yeah.
Oh, yeah, then, yeah.
But he loved, that's part of his character.
That's Ted Nugent.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a gun-toting, you know. But this guy, this rapper, he pulls out the gun and he's like waving it around and everybody's freaking out, but like quietly freaking out. Yeah. And then it's so quiet, and then the one guy goes, pardon me, dog, I'm just going to scoot myself over like a little bit. And then the guy looks at the camera, realizes what's happening, that he shouldn't have the gun out, and he's like, oh, I'm not going to shoot you. And that's the end of the video. It's the best. I'm going to play it. It's called, It's like these cringe videos on YouTube, but news videos that people have collected. And this one is just like, it's an urban station. It's awesome.
All right. I would.
Waving it around. Everybody could have been killed.
I know that you guys got to go. I would ask if you want to promote anything, but it's not like it's going to help out your show.
I'll promote your own show. Listen.
Well, I mean, yeah, because you are going to sell this.
Listening to Tuttle's show.
Yeah, yeah. Support the sponsors. You got any...
Subscribe and share.
Who are your sponsors now? Vapor Shades. We heard the factory burned down.
I got Vapor Shades. I got IanHannaHomes.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a house in the Brevard, Volusia, Flagler area, just hit up IanHannaHomes.com. Check out my YouTube live stream every night at 8. I'm available. You know what? Just search Tuttle. You'll find me.
He's got a different cast of characters on his show. He's got like a hip black guy, kind of like the guy you like on Ridiculousness, you and your wife's favorite show.
CeeLo Brim.
Yeah. He looks like Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. You got Volusia County Brim?
No, who's your guy's name? It's very similar.
Ciroc. Not like the liquor, but.
You got a cool black guy named Ciroc. Yeah. You don't have any of that. This guy's a better host than you.
Tuttle kind of looks a little deer
ridiculous.
Dicky,
this,
right?
Yeah.
Like he looks a little deer dick.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Little deer dick.
People say I look like Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. All right, guys, I'm out. Sorry, Tom.
It's your
don't
show.
End on that. Damn.
We can say
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go relapse in this. I'm gonna go take two full bars to counteract the double 60 milligram.
Tuttle, you're good.
What?
Good, dude.
No, I'm not good, Tom. Don't tell you.
No, I'm saying you're good. You've got the know-how.
Just do it.
You got the elbow grease. Yeah,
you got the gumption.
Yeah, yeah. You spent 25 years building
you think that makes me feel any better that I've spent 25 years and I live in a place called the Hobo Fish Camp?
To go down that road.
I tried that one. Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Sometimes
anything else?
Sometimes
like you're
He'll be like, hi, Diane. He'll be leaving, and I'll be in here editing. I'm like, yeah, sorry, I'm editing. He'll be like, you ever thought, like, maybe where you would have been had you left the monsters, like, I don't know, 10 years earlier? Bye-bye. Accidental dick and making friends. I don't know. He's not making
Yeah, sense. And I probably got to go in because we got a stray cat that mom wants in the house now, and the thing sprays diarrhea all over the walls. So it's like I'm cleaning. Why does cat crap smell worse than dog crap? It's the worst.
It does. Dog crap smells like a feed and seed store. If you go into like Tractor Supply or something, you can get essence of dog crap because it's very earthy. But cat crap is a different animal. I don't get it. Cat crap is like, it's acidic. It's
Well, yeah. I mean, the cat probably hadn't eaten in like a week, and I gave it a bunch of people food, like chicken and dumplings. I gave it chicken and dumplings, and it just sprayed. It just sprayed all over the walls.
That's a good southern cat eating chicken and dumplings and iced tea, sweet iced tea.
I'm not even joking.
Your mom's cooking big southern meals, fried chicken, full on sweet potato pie.
I did that for my dog for the last week.
His mom, because Tut's mom.
Well, cats eat leftovers like off your plate.
Some of them.
Oh, they're hungry enough.
I did not know that.
My cat would like, and Hell Cat's yeah. mom can, or Cat's mom, Tut's mom can cook. Like she is a very, very good cook.
I thought cats were more picky than that for whatever reason. I never had.
You gotta watch
cats.
The documentary Grey Gardens, where it's two old cat ladies and they just feed their cats on their bed whatever they're eating. They'll eat, take a bite and give their cats.
You're gonna be that, or you're gonna live with that at some point.
all right, guys, I'll let you go. I really appreciate this.
It's your 500th show. Yeah. What are you gonna do?
Well, no,
to
actually,
celebrate?
We missed the 500th show. That was live. Yeah. This is
501.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Levi's 501G.
All right.
This was supposed to be live, but I couldn't get it because my producer, you know, who has to do his military obligations, is not around. So
he's like, you know who he reminds me of, Vulture? Cackleberry from the Police Academy movie. He's the gun nut, the conservative gun nut, the muscle man. You know, like, yeah, he's like just straight as an arrow. I love me some Vulture.
So why do you need him to broadcast live?
Because I don't have a laptop and I do all my producing on my phone, even audio editing. So, yeah, I do.
That's pretty impressive.
It is very. It's when I tell people that, because I've known that for a minute, people don't believe me when I say you edit your podcast on your phone. I go, yep, he does it all on his phone.
I even do all the video editing. I do all my graphics, all my thumbnails.
I got it easy because I got big screens and big machines and processing power. He doesn't have that. So
hey, if you guys update any of your Macs in the office, you might, you know, might be generous, please, yeah. Tom.
Well, I bet you we can get you some sort of laptop or player.
Oh, you're getting a Dell, dude.
No, I'm some Volusia County laptop repair place that would give you an old MacBook,
so he's
going to
promise
right?
this much to you, and then he'll...
Okay, when can I expect to buy?
The what happened?
When can I expect it by? I got to put you on a timetable because if I don't, you will never follow through.
Yeah,
I'm just an idea.
Or you'll just let it linger. We've had this before with other vendors we're working with.
So give me a hard day, Tom.
No, I'm just saying you've got to go out or Vulture.
I will say this: December 25th, you will wake up, and if you believe, you will receive. That's all I'll say. But if you believe, Santa Claus may bring you a treat.
Okay. All right. We'll go.
Receive. So put out your stocking for Santa Claus.
Oh, by the way, today is my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Oh,
happy birthday, Mama.
I'm taking her to Blackbeard's and I'm going to get her a stiff scotch and a rare prime rib.
All right.
Yeah.
Total. Here's my one piece of advice.
My one piece of advice. If you say whisper rosebud, I'm right.
No,
oh, he dog.
No, you hung up.
No, I didn't. I just got a phone call coming in because I'm a piece of white trash podcasting fucker because everybody calls me and I forget to put it on do not disturb. So while I'm on right now, this is what you're seeing because assholes want to call me.
HR Bill. Bill from HR is calling.
So people like you, Tuttle. If you're just yourself,
be yourself.
You don't try to like give people what they want, because what they want is you just being truthful and being Tuttle that they know. Like when you try to go and start tap dancing and sticking the butt,
Huh? Okay, talk. Okay, talk. What? Talk,
great, no, great, what, great, no, great promotional. Yeah. Okay.
True. What Tom is trying to say, because he's brought this up multiple times, but he can't articulate it. And tell me if I'm right.
Okay.
Stop putting the balloons in your ass and inflating them. You don't need to do that as much anymore. Mm. You're coming in for a little bit of a landing. You're older. You're matured. You've been doing the reps. You've got the skills. You got a mind. You don't need to inflate your rectum to points of hurting it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm known for the anal expansion, and Tom's known for jumping things. So it looks like he is.
And you're still in the anal game.
No, he's out of it. But
once you're out of it,
you could always bring me back for the right price.
But that's what I'm saying. Don't go back. You got a good trajectory right now, and I feel like you stick it out.
Don't stick.
A couple more years, and you make something of yourself.
What happens? What do I do? You got to give me a hard date here. 2 or 3 years, Tom.
Wait, if it, the computer? Three years.
Well, I mean, yeah.
In three years' time, Santa Claus will come.
Yeah.
3 years.
Yeah.
Every 3 years, it'll be Christmas from Tom's Santa Claus, and I'll bring you an old.
You're close.
I'll give you the old Sony Vaio that I believe Ross stole from.
You're either...
Or I gave it to him. He didn't steal it.
Close or real far away? I'm like a ghost tour lady. I can't really tell.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle.
All right. Tom, you made me feel so much better about my life. I really do appreciate that. I'm going to walk in and see how much diarrhea I got to pick up.
Okay. All right. Well, Godspeed, and we love you, buddy.
All right. Love you guys. Thank you.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchUup.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover services brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with 2Ds.net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.